Genesis 4. First paragraph of Genesis 4, 1 through 8, has to do with the birth of the first two children in the human race, that is, the birth of Cain and Abel. And we stopped by saying last time that the New Testament looks back to Genesis 3 and 4 and makes comments and gives us perspective on these two men. And we ought to, in approaching the chapter, look at those passages. Two of the five passages speak of Abel, and they use a descriptive adverb in speaking of him. Two of them use a descriptive adjective. I said adverb. Adjective referring to Abel, telling what kind of man he was. The first is Matthew 23:45. And all we want to note off of this verse is the kind of man that Abel was described to be. Matthew 23:45 refers to him. Well, good start. Push the wrong button on takeoff. You read that newspaper? Okay. 23:35. Matthew speaks, or actually Jesus is speaking, and he says to the Jewish nation that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. Notice he is spoken of in this particular passage as righteous Abel. Hebrews 11:4, second passage, doing the same thing. Hebrews 11:4. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous." Hebrews 11:4. And therefore you have a clear-cut statement on the part of the New Testament that he was a righteous man. When we talk about righteousness in the New and Old Testament, there are basically two kinds. One, personal. Two, imputed. You say, what does that mean? Personal righteousness speaks of the fact that the man in and of himself is innately righteous. Imputed righteousness means that God says you are a guilty sinner, but you place your faith in what Christ has done for you on the cross, and because of that, I will impute, place on your account righteousness. The key chapter for that is Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 talks about how God imputed righteousness to Abraham. And the word for imputed was a bookkeeping term. It meant to enter on the credit side of the ledger. Much like you make a deposit and you record it in your check register. Imputed righteousness means you didn't deserve it. You don't have it really coming, but on the basis of God's grace, he puts that on your account. For example, he talks about Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Imputed righteousness is received by faith in Christ. We could put it in terms of books, since the thing is a bookkeeping term, and I'm a great bookkeeper. The left side is credit or debit. So are you, huh? What goes on the left side? Left column is Credit? Okay. Debit side, credit side. And man's books simply look like this. Man on the debit side has his sin. Through the death of Christ on the cross, God laid the iniquity of us all on Him. That leaves us innocent. We may be forgiven sin, but that doesn't mean we have righteousness. The word translated righteousness in the Bible is justified. Justified means to declare righteous. And with our sin placed on Christ, when we put our faith in Him, God enters on the credit side plus R. He gives us the righteousness of Christ. The Lord has made Him to be sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So that the first thing we know about Abel is that though he was a sinner, the two texts in the Old Testament, or New Testament rather, say we ought to view him as righteous Cain. Second passage. Abel. And if you're still with chapters 11 and verse 4 of Hebrews, we can from that passage learn a second thing about him. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained testimony that he was righteous. How did Abel get saved? By making a sacrifice? Doesn't say that, does it? It says the sacrifice was testimony that he was righteous. So when he made the sacrifice that he made, that we'll look at in the book of Genesis chapter 4, this was a testimony that this man has got a right standing with God. He is in right relationship to him and thus had this standing. So his right standing with God was revealed by the sacrifice he made in Genesis chapter 4. The right standing was revealed by the sacrifice that he made. Luke 11. New Testament commentaries on Cain and Abel, primarily on Abel. By the way, let me just kind of throw it in at this point. Cain and Abel are radically different men. Cain, according to 1 John, is said to be of the evil one. When in the Old Testament you have the concept of naming someone, the idea is you express either your hope or their basic characteristic. When Eve gave birth to Cain and to Abel, she named with great enthusiasm the first son she named Cain, which means gotten, kana, Hebrew word gotten, indicating that this is the child from God. According to 1 John chapter 3, this was the child of Satan. When Abel was born, she was just really disappointed. What the word Abel means? Hebrew word Havel means nothing. There is my little nothing. Just imagine how she's impressed with the birth of Abel. She named him my little nothing. And we will see the idea involved in that word. And we might just plant in our minds, since Abel was the one who honored the Lord and was righteous, how come Eve thought he was a little nothing? And how come when Cain was of Satan, as 1 John chapter 3, verse 12 will indicate, how come to her he was the one given to me by God? And we'll think about that when we come to it down in Genesis chapter 4, but we just note it at this point. Luke 11:49. Luke 11:49 is going to indicate that Abel was a prophet. Abel was a prophet. chapter 11, verse 49. Jesus again speaking, "For this reason also the wisdom of God said, I will send to them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill, and some they will persecute, in order that the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah." So he takes from the first prophet on, with Abel, on down to their present time, who the prophets were. Well, if Abel was a prophet, what did he say? A logical question. If he's a prophet, what did he say? "And you will look in vain for anything that he said verbally." He didn't say anything verbally. Therefore, his message resided in his action. His message was his actions. Now, what do we know about his actions? Number one, we know from Genesis 4, he made to God a sacrifice. But, parenthetically, we've got to remember this, so did Cain. So that the sacrifice made by Abel must have been unique. And it was. We know, for example, its nature. It was an animal sacrifice involving death. Important thing to keep in mind. The sacrifice of Cain did not require death. The sacrifice of Abel required death. Second, we know that it was selective. Abel didn't just sacrifice any animal. We have in Genesis the remark that he sacrificed the firstlings of the flock. So that when you put the sacrifice of Cain side by side with the sacrifice of Abel, we can make two very clear contrast. That of Abel required a death. That of Cain did not require a death. The sacrifice of Abel was selective. Only one qualified, not all qualified. With Cain, the sacrifice, we're not told that the sacrifice was a selective one. He made a sacrifice. The second thing we know, and if you can remember reading through Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel made his sacrifice. His sacrifice was made in an attitude of faith that Cain did not have. The whole tone of Cain's sacrifice is to clench his fist, shake it in the face of God and say, "What do you mean you won't accept my sacrifice?" And the Hebrew text says his face fell. And it's a very strong term, meaning to burn. Cain was burned up because I brought something and God would not accept it. Cain came with a totally different attitude. Abel came with a totally different attitude, namely an attitude of faith that's there. Third, he made a sacrifice, he came with an attitude of faith, and we know this, by his brother Cain, he was murdered for it. First John 3:12. And in 1 John 3:12, the sharp distinction between Cain and Abel is made very clear. verse 12 says, not as Cain, who was of the evil one. Greek word for of is the little preposition ek, meaning out of, as a source. Not as Cain, who was, as to his origin, source of life, the evil one, and slew his brother. Now when you look at the word slew, there's the normal word in Hebrew, in Greek rather, the normal word in Greek for killing is apothnesko. You've got it in, what's the poet? Thanatopsis. Who wrote that? Wasn't Kipling, was it Kipling? Well, I can say it was Kipling and nobody knows, okay? The Thanatopsis, which is a poem on death. And it comes from the word apothnesko, that means to die or to kill. This is not the word that's used here. The word that is used and translated slew is spadzo, that means to butcher. It's used of killing an animal, of slitting the throat. And it would be completely fair to the word in the original to translate 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, that he butchered his brother. The emphasis is on brutal slaying. And therefore, the idea involved is with the sacrifice made by Abel, accepted by God, Cain was mad enough to slit his brother's throat and to butcher him like an animal because of the resentment over that. So notice strong contrast is there, and that is going to introduce into Genesis that the most violent conflict of human history revolves about the nature and the means of salvation. And we will see that working out. All right? Cain's approach of coming to God, and basically, if you want to wrap up Cain, Cain said, I want to come to God my way. And God says, you cannot approach me your way. You must approach me my way. And that essentially is Cain's objection. I want to come to God the way I want to come to God. Now, when in the Bible a person's attitude becomes so prominent and so much part of him, it's called his way. His way means your lifestyle, including your attitude, your conduct. And notice if you go to one last New Testament passage, Jude verse 11. That embedded in man's thinking and history is the Cain attitude, that we want to come to God our own way. That notice in verse 11, the whole approach of Cain becomes his way. Verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They've gone the Cain route. And what is the Cain route, or the Cain way, or the Cain lifestyle, or the Cain mental attitude? I want to come to God just exactly the way I want to come to God, on my own terms, by my own method. All right, now we can go back to Genesis 4. Genesis 4. And we're looking in Genesis 4 at the birth of the children. We've looked at New Testament comments, and now number 2. Under their birth is verse 1. Man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, Kana, which means, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. And so the two sons are viewed in this way. Cain is viewed as a gift of God. Abel, I will not turn to this, I'll mention it to you. Remember how the book of Ecclesiastes starts out? The book of Ecclesiastes says, Vanity of vanities. The word means empty or nothing. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. You know what their vanity is? Abel. Abel of Abels, all is Abel. And so the idea is this was her little nothing. Her little emptiness. Question. How could Eve be so wrong? She identified Cain as a gift of God when Cain was energized by Satan. How could she be so wrong? Abel, who was righteous, who was a prophet, is called nothing. How could Eve be so wrong? I think the answer is to trace back to where she got her moral sense from. In chapter 2, Satan says that in the day that you eat, you will know good and evil. And the emphasis is you'll know good and evil. From my perspective, you learn evil by doing evil, and consequently, Eve's viewpoint is confused because her enlightenment came not from obeying God, but from obeying the behest of Satan, and thus she completely analyzes things wrong. Their birth, their occupations. Their birth, and now their occupations. Chapter 4, verse 2. And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper. The word keeper, by the way, is the same word used in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, the word for shepherd, ra'ah, is the word that's translated here, keeper. Was a shepherd of the flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And the first thing we ought to note is both occupations are absolutely legitimate. Nothing wrong with Cain being a tiller of the ground. As a matter of fact, God puts Adam in the garden and he says, I want you to cultivate it. I want you to till it. So both occupations are completely legitimate. Abel occupied with cattle. Cain occupied with agriculture. Well, if they're both legitimate, why bother to tell us? Why do we need that? And thus, with their occupations, we ought to ask, why is this revealed? And here is the answer. The product or products of their occupations, the products of their occupations, were the vehicle for revealing their attitude toward God. Occupations are mentioned because the products of their occupations were the vehicle for revealing their attitude toward God. And we will see that coming because in chapter 4, verse 3, Cain brings an offering from the fruit of the ground, and Abel brings an offering of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat portions. So, again, this is important to recognize this will be the vehicle for revealing attitude. Their birth, their occupations, and now their offerings. 3 through 7. Their offerings, 3 through 7. Verse 3. It came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground, and Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. Notice the same verb, brought, is used in both cases. That word emphasizes choice. In both cases, we have mentioned previously that in Hebrew, you can state a thing matter-of-factly, kalstem, intensively, pielstem, or causatively, hifil. Causative means you made something happen. Emphasis would be on choice. Well, verse 3 says, when it uses the word brought, that Cain, hifil stem, brought or caused to be brought. This was not accidental. It was not in the encouragement of somebody else. He caused an offering to be made. And the same thing is true in the next verse of Abel. So that they both had their volition involved in it. Now, the contrast is this. As to the nature of the offering, Abel took his cue from God. Cain, as to the type of offering, took his cue from Cain, from himself. He decided what ought to be brought. Or let's put it this way. When an offering was to be made, Abel said, I remember in chapter 3, verse 21, he had no 321, but that's where it's located in our Bibles. He said, I remember that verse 21 says, the Lord God made garments of skin. God did not bring to cover the problem of the guilt of Adam and Eve. He did not clothe them in vegetables. He did not wrap them in spinach leaves. And God knows he did not clothe them in Brussels sprouts. So Abel takes that cue as to the fact that in God's covering of our sin and the results of it, he slew an animal. There was death, and that death was used to cover us. And his cue comes from that particular thing. So that we can make between the two offerings a comparison. And we'll just column them off and look at Cain on the left side. Cain's offering had no precedent in divine activity. He did something that God had never done. It had no precedent in God's action. Abel's offering did. Cain's had no precedent. Abel had precedent. He had seen God deal with the covering for sinners. And he did so at the cost of the death of the sacrificial animal. Cain gave his with a merit attitude. And the reason we know he gave it with a merit attitude is how else can you explain why he was so mad when God wouldn't take it? I mean, this is my gift. How dare you, God, have the audacity not to appreciate my gift? And God says, well, you can change it and make it the right one. And he says, I will not. You take it or leave it. This is my offering. You won't receive it. So just tough. And God gives him a chance to change. But he refuses to alter the merit attitude. Abel made his with a faith attitude. Third, for Cain, there was no death involved. With Abel's sacrifice, there was a death. Now, to that God responds in chapter 4, verse 4. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock into their fat portions. And the Lord had regard. Had regard is a Hebrew word that means to look at with interest and approval. God looked with interest and approval upon Abel and his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. Notice, by the way, we've mentioned previously that in the Hebrew Bible, many times when they want to mark off a direct object, they have a little sign of a direct object. It'd be sort of like in English saying, he hit him, he hit arrow, him, pointing to the DO, the direct object. In verse 4, God looked at two things, the man and the offering. Because when you read verse 4, it says, Abel, and on his part, also brought of the first things of the flock in their fat portion. And the Lord had regard, direct object, for Abel, and direct object on his offering. But for Cain came the direct object, and for his offering, direct object, he had no regard. And so notice God looked at both the man and the sacrifice that the man brought. To that, you have the response of Cain. Verse 5. For Cain and for his offering he had no regard, so Cain became very angry. The word for angry means to burn, to kindle. So, and it would be perfectly accurate to say Cain became very hot. And so if you want to picture Cain from the neck up as being red with the vessels standing out, carotids on both sides popping in his neck, and he is extremely burned, and his countenance, Hebrew word for face, his face fell. Now why is he so mad? Well, the obvious thing is God has rejected his offering. And I'm sure several things crossed his mind. Number one, God had determined what he would accept and what he would not. Who is God to do that? So he rejects his sovereignty. He wanted to determine how he approached God. And insult of all insults, let's suppose you go out and you put your best efforts into buying a gift for someone, and they say, I wouldn't have that on my life. It's trash. Well, Cain is having to face the fact that man's most well-intentioned efforts have no effect on acceptance with God. And that's why people resist the gospel. Titus, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. And you take all of the good, well-intentioned things that man can do, and God says, it's not by works of righteousness which you have done that I will save you. I save you on the basis of coming my way, on the basis of my grace. And that's one of the first steps, if not the primary step, in becoming a Christian. Paul says he looks back on all of his past in Philippians 3, and he says, I call all those things dung, refuse, trash, for knowing Christ. And that's one of the first things we must do in accepting salvation, is to realize it is not my well-intentioned efforts. It's not what I do. It's not what I produce. It is what he has done, what he has given to me that brings me salvation. So really, when you get down to it, this is Cain's problem. So God comes back to him in verse 6 with an approach. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Keep in mind, God's questions are never in the Bible to obtain information. When God says to Adam and Eve, where are you? God hasn't been looking behind trees and bushes and saying, where do these people go? He wants them to say, think of where you're at. Think of what's happened. And so Cain, why are you angry? In fact, the word why is a compound word in Hebrew made up of a preposition la, meaning to, and the word ma means what? For what reason are you angry? Think about it, Cain. Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? And then notice an extension of grace. And the extension of grace is a reminder, if you do well, meaning if you'll do it my way, will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not well, sin is crouching at the door. Sin, in the terms of all of its penalty and consequences, is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. In other words, God in grace says, come on, it's still possible. The door of salvation is not closed. You can still do this if you will. So Cain's problem was not, is there a way to God? Cain's problem was accepting the fact that there is only one way to God, and that he could not buy. Well, with that attitude, we have verse 8, and the divergence between those who understand salvation by grace, coming to God in God's way, as over against those who do not, man's two families, is manifested in verse 8. It says, Cain told Abel his brother, and the question would be, told him what? I think the only place you can go is back in context. Cain said, Abel, God said, if I come his way, I can approach him. I'm not going to do that. And probably Abel says, well, it's the only way. And the animosity flared. And with that, it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Interesting thing here is one of our first basic principles we've always emphasized in God's Word, which is what? If you're not right up, you can't be right out. If not right vertically, that is to God, you can't be right with men. And therefore, what we're really saying is the murder of Abel was the calculated act of a man not angry with Abel, but angry with God and the word that Abel represented, and thus you have the animosity flaring up, and it sets a historical precedent for hostility toward God. Now, with verse 9, we come to the next paragraph, and I'll caption it because it'll be where we will pick up in our next study. And this is God extending grace to Abel, and we will simply call the next paragraph God's cross-examination of Cain. Chapter 4, verse 9 through 15. And God will attempt on every part to extend grace to Cain and get Cain to see that I've been wrong. I will admit I was wrong. I did not come to God the way he wanted me to come. I will forsake it and I will come in God's way. Cain never does that. But I don't know of many men in the Word of God that are given a better chance. Because God keeps on saying to Cain, what have you done? Can you see it? Will you own up to it? And Cain will not, does not, and thus reveals his inner nature as 1 John 3:12 described it, as from the evil one. Father, we're thankful today for the truth taught in Genesis. May we recognize that there is only one way of salvation, and Jesus said it in such clear words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And we pray that you will grant us the grace to relinquish our pride of our own efforts and our own worth, and come to find that all of our worth and all of our value is not in ourselves, but in Christ, who makes us valuable men and women, in whose name we pray. Amen.